Welcome to this episode of Frequency Matters Podcast. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. We're starting a new series on innovative Internet of Things applications. And today we're exploring how wireless technology can help farmers with crop yields while reducing water consumption. That's what the startup company GoGuru is aiming to do. Joining us to explain this interesting Internet of Things application is Patrick Henry, CEO, and Farouk Ajun, co-founder, CTO, and VP of Engineering. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks, Pat, for having us.
Let's start with the mission of GoGuru. What problem are you trying to solve?
Yeah, GoGuru is all about strategic irrigation management. So we help farmers make more money by increasing crop yield and at the same time more efficiently using water and other scarce resources in a more sustainable way.
So you say that GoGuru can increase crop yields and conserve water. Can you quantify that so we get a sense of what that means to the farmer and ultimately me, the consumer?
Sure. The typical results a farmer will see is about a 10 to 20% increase in crop yield, while at the same time getting about a 10 to 20% reduction in input costs. From a consumer perspective, you probably don't see too much of that passed along. There's a lot of things that happen in the supply chain. There's also side benefits that are a little bit more difficult to quantify, that when you optimally irrigate, you also improve crop quality, which, you know, is the taste of the food, the feel of the food, the look of the food. So that's also another benefit, a little more difficult to quantify economically, but also a benefit of optimal irrigation.
So what is your business model? Will you provide a complete solution to the farmer or work through established companies that are already serving the agriculture market?
Yeah, we can do a combination of both. We do sell directly to farmers and provide an irrigation management monitoring system. So that includes getting the data out of the ground. We typically measure soil moisture, soil temperature, in some cases, electrical connectivity, which is a proxy for soil salinity. We then pass that up to the cloud and then provide that on a very simple, intuitive, farmer-friendly user interface, which gives the farmer some recommendations on when and how much to irrigate. Now, we can also put that system through a hyperlink onto somebody else's system that does complete farm management solutions, and we've done that in some cases.
So if we dig into the technical side of your solution, can you talk a little bit about the end-to-end solution that you use to manage irrigation?
We don't do the irrigation control. That's done by partner companies. One example is PivotTrack. They're one of our dealers and partners that service the Texas Panhandle and also Idaho. There's other irrigation control companies that we work with in various other geographies. PivotTrack is an example. They have an irrigation control system that works on center pivot irrigation systems. So what we do is we provide data that then is turned into information about, hey, this is probably what you want to do in terms of when you want to irrigate, how much you want to irrigate, and that technical system Farouk can describe in a little bit more details.
So the system that we have consists of an IoT part of it and an artificial intelligence part of it. So basically the GoGuru system is what you call as IoT plus artificial intelligence for agriculture. So the IoT part of it consists of sensors that we bury in the ground, and we get the data out of the ground in a wireless fashion, unlike any other company that's out there that we are aware of that can get the signals out from the ground. And once we get the data from the sensors buried in the ground in a wireless fashion, we transfer the data to the cloud. And that is where our machine learning algorithms analyze the data in order to figure out various things that are of high importance for the farmer. Things such as, how deep did the water percolate? How fast are my roots growing? Especially this is important for annual crops such as corn, cotton, wheat, soybean, etc. So the farmers can know whether the irrigation decisions they are taking are the right ones so that the crop is growing at the right pace. The roots are the engines of the plant. The roots are the engines of these crops. And the roots are not growing properly. Then when they really need to grow during the hot temperatures of summer and when the plant is 8 weeks old, 12 weeks old, then the plant might not have access to the water if the roots are not deep enough. So these are the things that we look for from our machine learning perspective. And then we advise the farmer in terms of what actions they should be taking in order to ensure, again, as Patrick mentioned earlier, increase crop yield, as well as to reduce the resource usage.
So digging even deeper into the system, what's the functionality of your underground sensors? Do they do more than measure the moisture in the soil?
So the underground sensors, they go all the way to about 5 feet deep, 6 feet deep, depending upon the type of plant and all that. They definitely measure the moisture in the ground at different depths. They also measure the temperature of the soil at each of these depths. And in some cases, as Patrick also mentioned earlier, we also measure the salinity in the soil. And we combine all these things in order to provide recommendations to the farmers that ultimately translate into when to water and how much to water.
Pretty interesting. Farouk's done the work with our chief agronomist, David Sloan, who's a PhD agronomist with, you know, over 20 years experience in irrigation agronomy. So the combination of Farouk's machine learning knowledge and capability and David's agronomy expertise, we are able to use that data and look at their signatures associated with that data, then an agronomist can tell what's going on. So some of the things that we look at that aren't directly measured but indirectly measured or things like the permanent wilt point, the type of soil that it is, how deep the water is percolating, all of those kinds of things aren't directly measured, but through the combination of machine learning and looking at the signatures on the curves we get, we can give the farmer additional insights.
Yeah, and this is very helpful actually. It is as if the farmer has an agronomist on call at any point in time, as opposed to having a skilled agronomist like David Sloan that we have on our team. And so the combination of IoT gets the data, machine learning analyzes the data, and we have the agronomist's recommendations out there so that every farmer has access to a special consultant.
And what is the lifetime of the sensors? Is it determined by the battery?
So these sensors that are buried in the ground, yes, they do run on batteries, alkaline diesel batteries. And they survive below the ground for anywhere from 5 to 10 years. Definitely 5 years. And that's part of the secret sauce that GrowGuru has about how to make these sensors, these buried sensors, because you can't expect the farmer to be removing the buried sensors every season, replace the batteries, put it back. That just will not work. So the batteries are there, everything is sealed, potted, nothing leaks into the device, the sensors that are below the ground combined to the telemetry unit, which is also below the ground. And then you just bury it there and leave it there for 5 years.
Yeah, that's really one of our biggest advantages is this wireless underground system. We call it the WUGS, which we now have the fundamental patent issued on that technology. Got issued last December. All the competitive alternatives in the market today require cables from the sensors under the ground to the above ground telemetry. So that means for annual field crops, you have to annually install and remove those sensors. So that provides a significant limitation in terms of you can't get continuous data, you can't get year-round data, you have this cumbersome and difficult process of doing annual install and removals. That install and removal cycle happens at the worst possible time, around the time of seeding and around the time of harvest, when labor is most scarce, farm labor is most scarce. So the wireless underground system really enables what we call a permanent install, 5 years or greater, and we can do the install during the six-month fallow season when there's not crop in the ground, which makes it much simpler, and then they stay there for at least 5 years. Then the above-ground telemetry is just simple to remove. It just takes a couple seconds to remove it instead of having to dig something out of the ground. Then the permanent install, that leads to consistent data. So we have a proprietary data stream that nobody else has because those soil sensors stay in undisturbed soil for long periods of time. So you can look at last year's data and this year's data and make comparisons. A lot of the farmers we sell to are what they call deficit irrigators. So they actually maybe use 20 to 25% of their irrigation budget before they put crop in the ground. So in the current model, they can't even measure what's going on then. Whereas in our case, they can measure that and make sure they're kind of filling the bucket, filling the soil profile sufficiently that when they do plant, they're more likely to get kind of maximum results.
I think you said you, to your knowledge, are the only service that has the wireless communication between the sensor and your telemetry. Can you talk a little bit more about how the sensors actually communicate up to the cloud? What kind of communications network you have?
So the IoT system, the objective of that is to get data from the sensors that are buried below the ground into the cloud. And to do that, we make use of three different wireless technologies. The first wireless technology that we use is to get the data from the sensor buried 5 feet underground, 6 feet underground, whatever have you, to a above ground unit, as I call it. What happens out here is the sensors are connected to a telemetry unit. So you can have six sensors at one hole in the ground, eight sensors in one hole in the ground, and these sensors are at different depths, 1 foot, 18 inches, 24 inches, 30 inches, all the way to 5 feet, 6 feet. So you have a bunch of these sensors. They're all connected to a single telemetry unit. And these sensors and telemetry unit, they're all connected via wired connection. But the telemetry unit is again buried below the ground. You can't have the telemetry, this telemetry unit above the ground because of destructive harvest, because of the way harvesting is done for corn, cotton, wheat, soybean. So the first wireless link uses our own proprietary wireless technology in order to get the data from these sensors buried below the ground to a above ground unit, which can be up to 30 feet away from the below ground telemetry unit. So this is the wireless underground system, WUGS technology, as we call it, proprietary patented technology. Then once we get the data to the above ground unit, by the way, the below ground unit, we call it as a Badger, and the above ground unit, we call it as a Fox. So the Badger is talking to the Fox using WUGS technology. That's the first wireless link. The second wireless link is for the Fox to talk to a faraway base. The base can be 5 miles away, 10 miles away. So this Fox, which is above the ground, uses a wireless technology called LoRa, long range wireless. It's an unlicensed ISM band frequency, and use LoRa to talk to the base, which can be 5 miles away, 10 miles away. That's the second wireless link that we use in our solution. And then the third wireless link consists of either Wi-Fi or cellular from the base, and we use that to get the data into the cloud. And one thing that I would like to point out is, while we have these three wireless technologies to get the data from the sensors below the ground into the cloud, the farmer does not have to do anything at all. It's all transparent as far as the farmer is concerned. It's a complete single system.
So as a follow-up, can you talk a little bit about what frequency you're using for the underground telemetry to communicate?
Very good question, Gary. We use a very low frequency. I can share that now that we have the patent granted and all that. Very low, 175 kilohertz frequency is what we use. It's not even megahertz, it's in kilohertz, is what we use in order to communicate between the Badger and the Fox, the below ground Badger to the above ground Fox. And the Fox then uses the unlicensed 915 megahertz ISM band in order to communicate with the base that is miles away. And from there, we use cellular Wi-Fi.
And that's a big part of the innovation. If you think about AM radio and kilohertz band frequencies, you know, the antennas are a quarter mile long, whatever they are, they're super long. So getting something into a very small form factor, very low power, in that low frequency is critically important. We use our magnetic resonance technology to do that. So the antennas are completely different. It's a more of a circular antenna. There's just a lot of innovation that's gone into this.
And you talked about using the LoRa standard. Is that your own transmitter receiver that you use, or do you tap into someone else's service?
No, we use the hardware from Semtech, which is a standard in that space and the technology. But we have our own service. We have our own base. We have our own clients on the Fox. And the thing is this, Gary, I understand there are many of these companies that are coming around now that provide the LoRa as a service, just like Verizon has the cellular service. But GrowGuru started deploying this about 4 years back, 2016. And around that time, we had no companies that were providing this LoRa as a service. And we have that 4 years of experience, a lot of deployment since then in several agricultural areas. So that's the history. why we have built our own LoRa network.
And it's not that we can use, you know, a third-party LoRa network in the future. That's not really the proprietary nature of what we're doing. So if there were a low-cost, high-reliability LoRa network out there, we would consider piggybacking on that. But right now, in order to ensure the reliability and robustness, we're deploying it ourselves.
Got it. And then is it a one-way communications link, basically from the sensor in the ground up to the cloud, or is there any way you communicate back to the Badger?
So currently the system that we are deploying is one-way, only from the Badger to the Fox. The LoRa link obviously is two-way. We can upgrade the Fox over the air, firmware upgrade, all of those things, send config commands to the Fox. We can do all that. But what we also have working in our lab currently is the ability to talk to the Badger, which is buried underground, so that we can send various commands to the Badger buried underground. We can do the over-the-air upgrade, or maybe I can call it over-the-soil upgrade or whatever you want to say, because it's buried below the ground. So you can also do that. And we expect to start deploying this technology sometime next year. I'm sure Patrick will have more to say about it. He's the boss. He decides when we deploy it and we don't, and gives us the money to do it.
Yeah, so we'll be at field trials later this year on what we call the two-way WUGS, two-way wireless underground system, and we'll probably be in kind of full commercial deployment in fall of 2021. That'll be kind of our standard offering at that time. And there's some big benefits associated with that. As Farouk mentioned, you know, we can do instant updates on the Badger, but we also, if you think about one-way WUGS, allows you to go untethered, no longer needing cables from the underground system to the above ground system. What the two-way WUGS does is it allows you to go mobile. So you could mount the above ground telemetry on a center pivot irrigation system. You could mount it on a drone. I think a lot of the customers will continue to keep it in a fixed location. We also are improving the range of the WUGS from 30 feet to probably as much as 50 feet when we deploy the two-way version. So we just need to make sure that it's rock solid. We don't deploy anything until we have 100% confidence that, you know, it's going to work in large scale deployments. So we've got early access partner, farmer customers, and we kind of call them teaching customers that we work with on making sure that in a real field environment, the technology works very reliably and robust.
So after you collect the data from the farmer's field, how do you process it to provide useful information back to the farmer, you know, information that they can use to increase yields and reduce water?
So we collect the data in the cloud. We use Amazon Cloud. We also have an instance on Google Cloud. The data, once collected in the cloud, we run it through different machine learning algorithms, trying to figure out things like, when did the irrigation last happen? Because we don't, I mean, some of these farmers, they just want the end result. They don't want to be analyzing those squiggly lines, time series, all of that stuff. They just are like, okay, tell me, do I have enough water in my tank out there? It's like a fuel in the gas gauge. Do I have enough fuel, or do I need more fuel, or what do I do? So we analyze that to figure out, okay, when did they last irrigate? How effective was that last irrigation? Did it reach all the depths based on where we have detected the root activity and based on how deep the roots currently have? So we look at all that, analyze it, and then we push the data into apps. And we have an app that you can open using your browser, the web application, the web app, as we call it, as well as we have apps on iPhone currently. So if you have an iPhone, iPad, on iOS, we have the app. So farmers get access to the data either through the iOS app on their iPhone or iPad, or on a web app that they access through using a browser like Chrome, Firefox, etc.
So what types of farms are you serving or targeting to serve? For example, I'm thinking of well-established farming regions with corporate farms like in the Central Valley of California, but there are also small family farms and certainly farms in arid countries that seems like could use the service.
Yeah, our initial deployments are all in the United States. We do have aspirations to do international deployments starting in 2021, but we have our hands full just with the opportunities we have here to start with. So we have a first generation product that we initially started deploying primarily in California in the Central Valley, and that's into permanent crops, perennial crops, like fruit and nut trees, vineyards. We're in some vegetable markets, and then we started deploying the wireless underground system in early 2019, commercial deployments. And that's predominantly in the Mid-South region, the Midwest, kind of the Western Corn Belt, a little bit in Washington State. And then we do have some deployments in California as well. Before I got into the agriculture industry, Farouk and I were both tech guys. I always thought that there were these big corporate farmers, but the vast majority of farmers are multi-generational family farmers, even if they have really big farms. They just have been the consolidators of buying up other family farms that either went out of business or the dad passed away or whatever it was, and that the kids didn't want to continue to be farmers. So the vast majority are multi-generational family farmers. There's over 2 million farmers in the United States. So we have to build a dealer network to service those farmers. We do have direct relationships with a number of the bigger farmers, but then we have channel partners we sell to, and then they resell to the farmers in most cases. And these dealers, we call them, can be a variety of different types of companies. We've got irrigation equipment dealers, we've got farm equipment dealers, we have farming co-ops, and then we have irrigation equipment OEMs. So depending upon what region we're in, there's different types of channel partners that are most effective in that region, that our product is really the most complementary. And the dealer gets excited about it. They can give it enough attention that can really expand the market opportunity. Ground zero for the wireless underground system is really fully irrigated broadacre row crops. And this is like corn, soybeans, cotton, wheat, sorghum. And the dominant portion of that business for the United States is in the Western Corn Belt. So that kind of starts in the Texas Panhandle, goes up through Western Kansas, Eastern Colorado, Western Nebraska, really all the way up to the Dakotas. And most of those farmers get their water from an underground lake, an underground aquifer called the Ogallala Aquifer. In the United States, there's, I think, something like 52 million acres of irrigated crops, and 44 million of that is field crops, broadacre row crops. And then of that 44 million, probably between 20 and 25 million is in that Western Corn Belt. And then a lot of the rest of it's in the Mid-South region. We're in Tennessee and Arkansas and those regions. You know, there's some up in Washington State, a lot of alfalfa up there. There's alfalfa also in the Imperial Valley in California. So those are kind of the real target areas where the wireless underground system has the biggest benefit. Now, even in supplemental irrigated or even in rain-fed, there's still value in the product. You just deploy it in a less dense way. So we haven't really gone after those opportunities yet, but those are future opportunities for the company as well.
What can you tell us about where GrowGuru is in the life cycle of a startup? Are you generating any revenue yet? And what is your source of funding?
Yeah, so we're on about $1 million annual revenue run rate and ramping. We're not profitable yet. From a venture capital vernacular standpoint, we've established product market fit. So we're kind of a late seed stage company. We're not in what we would call the growth stage yet, although we are growing at a very rapid clip. I think within the next couple years, next year even maybe, we'll be in what we would call a growth stage company that's more established. And all of our sources of capital up to this point have been from individual investors, what we call angel investors, family offices, where we've gotten our pre-seed capital and seed capital. And Farouk and I have also invested in the company as well, not only our time, but our money. In fact, when I initially got involved with the company, I got involved as an angel investor, an advisor to the company. And then about a year later, I joined full time because I was so excited about the opportunity and couldn't wait to work with Farouk even more.
I was about to say that he was quite excited to work with me, I guess.
He has a lot of confidence in you, I can tell.
Yeah.
Are you getting funding from any other sources? Or?
Yeah, so right now, as we speak, we're raising capital in an equity crowdfunding campaign on a platform called WeFunder. We've actually had some really great initial success on it. We launched our campaign publicly about 3 days ago, and we've already raised over $1 million. It's interesting because learning about equity crowdfunding is another new part of this job. I mean, I've raised a lot of capital in the past, primarily from venture capital investors, but I've never raised money in equity crowdfunding. I did do a crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter for a book that I wrote, but I'd never done equity crowdfunding. So it's really been quite interesting. And it's something that hasn't been available for that long, only within the last few years when Congress passed the Jobs Act. They have a new mechanism called the Regulation Crowdfunding, Reg CF, where you can raise money from non-accredited investors. I mean, typically only accredited investors, so high net worth, high income individuals could invest in a company like ours. But now there's been this kind of democratization of investing. So, you know, smaller investors can now invest in startups like ours. And there's definitely accredited investors that are also investing on WeFunder into GrowGuru. But there's a lot of, you know, small check sizes. It can be a check as small as $100. You know, it's really kind of cool. You get a lot of comments from people excited about being able to invest in kind of this potentially high growth startup company that, you know, wouldn't have been even a possibility for them a few years ago.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Before we let you guys go, I have to ask Farouk, as one of the co-founders, what got you interested in the agricultural market?
That's an interesting story, Gary. Basically, I don't have a green thumb. I have a brown thumb or a black thumb, but I kill plants. And it all started from my own interest in terms of how do I grow plants better. And one thing led to the other, and I could figure out the pain or the need for a solution like this in the agricultural market. Met my co-founder, Jeff Campbell. He's been the brains behind the wireless underground technology combined. And then we met Patrick with his excitement and his belief in the company and all that. Yeah, we have taken company places.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you, Patrick and Farouk, for joining us to explain GrowGuru. Many of Microwave Journal's readers are focused on the RF microwave technology and the components that use it, and we don't often get to hear about actual fielded applications, pun intended. So we appreciate you giving us a view into the work and the impact that it can have on the agricultural market. And we'll be following your progress and wish you much success.
Thank you very much. And if there are investors or potential investors in your audience, just go to wefunder.com/GrowGuru, GROGURU. You can make a $100 investment or a lot more if you'd like.